this time, I would invite those children who are with us, ages 3 through 3rd grade. They can head on out to Children's Corner, and we'll have some time of learning and crafts for them. And you can just gather in the back of the church by the font and head on out to your classroom. And while the kids are making their way out, I just wanted to, by way of introduction, say it's good to be back. My family and I had a wonderful time out of town on a little vacation. Yes, clergy do take vacations. We do work during the week. It's not just on Sunday, so we do have to take a little time off. That was a little clergy humor. You know, and somebody once said that you can always tell what a minister has been reading on vacation because all of their illustrations for about the 3 weeks after they get back come from the same thing. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I want to unleash on you illustrations from Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the lightning thief, so don't worry, we're not going to go there. I just needed something light and fluffy to read during my time off. Now, what we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago was Pentecost, the great feast of the church where we mark and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. The week after that was Trinity Sunday, and we talked a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. And what we're going to do today and for the next couple of weeks is spend a little bit of time looking at what the Holy Spirit does. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of the individual believer, in the life of the church, and so on and so forth. So what we're going to do is pray first, and then I'm going to read a little passage of scripture to you, and we'll be off and running. So let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we gather together this morning as your people, made alive by you through the power of your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would indeed stir our hearts, quicken our minds, and give us ears to hear your voice and hearts to love you and minds to know you and hands to serve you. Would you reveal yourself to us through your scripture and through the power of your Spirit? And I pray and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought the best place to go to talk about the Holy Spirit would be to go to Jesus and see what Jesus has to say to his disciples. And this is a passage from John chapter 16, where Jesus is with his disciples. It's the Last Supper, and he's giving them some teaching, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this, "If I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." There's two key things that Jesus is trying to communicate to his disciples about the Holy Spirit in this passage. The first is that the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of its sin. And the second thing is that he will lead them into all truth. So let me say a little bit about that first part. In our New Testament reading, Romans chapter 7, Paul is describing, a very tumultuous experience. He says, "The good that I want to do is what I don't do, and the bad things that I try to avoid are what I end up doing." And he's describing a very real characteristic of the Christian life, and that is that the Christian life is one of struggle. Many people think that when you become a Christian, your problems go away. I don't know why they think that, but they do. But the scriptures teach us that when you trust in Christ, the battle begins. Now, what does Paul mean, the battle begins? He says that my own flesh, my own desires, my will, my thoughts are now butting up against, what does he say, the Spirit of God. And there's this struggle to do what is good and right and holy, because I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I find that I don't always do it. Now, I think that this is probably one of the most plainly accessible passages in all the Bible, because who can read this and not think, oh yeah, that's totally me, right? Because if all of us knew exactly what we needed to do, when we needed to do it, from the bottom of our heart, and then could go out and do it 24/7, we'd be good to go. There would be no struggle. There would be no problems. Life would be good. Yeah, baby. But the problem is that we have this struggle inside of us. And that struggle is our own sinful nature butting up against the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes and shows you not only God's will, but also convicts you of the things that you shouldn't be doing. Now that might seem kind of harsh and heavy, like, gosh, the Holy Spirit comes to make me feel bad? Like that's, you know, you could kind of walk away. If I ended the sermon here, you could walk away and think, oh gosh, that sounds kind of harsh. That doesn't sound very nice. Well, that would be true. But the reason the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinfulness is because he shows us our need for a Savior. There's a movie that I really enjoy. It's a movie about a guy called Superman. And it's called Superman Returns. It came out a couple years ago. I was very excited about it because I hadn't made a Superman movie since the 80s. And you think special effects have come a long way since then. So no strings attached here. And there's an incredible scene in this film where Superman's talking to Lois Lane. And in the movie, Superman has gone away from the Earth for a number of years. And the reason he left was he was trying to find other Kryptonians. Remember, his home planet Krypton blew up and he got sent to Earth, if you know the story of Superman. If you don't, come and talk to me afterwards. And so he leaves Earth to go find out, hey, are there any other Kryptonians out there? And so then he comes back, hence the title of the film, Superman Returns. But he didn't tell Lois Lane why he was leaving or even say goodbye to her. He just took off. And she gets a little, well, to say she's jaded is putting it mildly. And, you know, there's a saying, hell hath no fury. Well, anyway, while he's gone, Lois Lane writes an article that's called Why the World Doesn't Need a Superman. She ends up winning the Pulitzer Prize for this article, incidentally, in the film. And so Superman comes back, and he finally confronts Lois, and he's talking to her, and he says, you know, you wrote this article that says why the world doesn't need a Superman. You know, we can get by on our own. We don't need somebody in a fancy red cape flying in and catching cars as they fall off bridges and putting out fires and that kind of thing. He says, we don't need that. So Superman comes and says, Lois, you wrote this article. Why the world doesn't need a Superman? And he says, but yet every day I hear people crying out for a Savior. I almost fell out of my movie seat, you know, in the theater there. And he didn't say, I hear people crying out every day for a Superman. He says, I hear them crying out for a Savior. And that's essentially what the Holy Spirit does, is it shows you and me that we need a Savior, that we have someone to cry out to save us. Now, it's not somebody in a red cape. That's not who we pray to on Sunday mornings. Quite the opposite, in fact. The person that we cry out to was someone who bled and died on a cross and was raised again to new life. And it's this person whom the Holy Spirit brings to mind, brings to our attention in leading us into all truth. And that's the second thing Jesus says He says, I have many things that I'm longing to tell you. He knows that his time is short. He's going to be arrested soon and dragged off into trial and to be executed. And there's so much that he wants to tell them. I mean, you can almost hear it in his voice. There's so much I want to tell you guys. But you can't handle that right now. You can't handle the truth. You almost hear Jesus saying that. And you're not ready for it. He says, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And one of the remarkable things about the disciples is you can almost picture them saying, James, you know what he's talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. Just keep looking. And after Jesus comes back from the dead, he's raised again, what do the scriptures tell us? That again and again they remembered. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus did say that he was going to die and be raised again. He did say that, didn't he? And then he said that too, and he said this too. And all of a sudden, they're starting to remember and understand all the things that Jesus had said and done. Now, how is it that they were able to do that? Through the Holy Spirit, who was pointing them back to the person and teaching of Christ, reminding them and teaching them all things that are true. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing for you and me today. That he will constantly point us back to Jesus Christ and remind us of who he is and what he has done. And now we don't have the luxury of the apostles of thinking like, you remember last month when Jesus, you know, walked on water? Well, you and I weren't there to do that. But what the Holy Spirit does do is he points us back to the scriptures where we have the witness and testimony of the apostles. And if you've ever been reading your Bible, or you maybe have heard a passage being read in church that you've heard many, many times before, you might be very familiar with it. All of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what that means. I got it now. It's clicking for me. Okay, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Teaching you, showing you the things that are true. And the Holy Spirit, the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is he hasn't really changed his MO in 2,000 years. He did it for the disciples. He does it for us today. That he will show us our sinfulness, convict us of that, so that we might see our need for a Savior. And then he will constantly remind us and refresh us and invigorate us with the knowledge and the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Now, there's a lot more we're going to talk about in terms of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into gifts and some of the other things. But it's remarkable that the first teaching that Jesus gives his disciples on the Holy Spirit are these two things. And he did that for them, and he will continue to do that for us today.